Fortunate foolish persons, not knowing that he is engaged in his own self, laugh at him. Such foolish persons engage in maintaining the body, which is eatable by dogs, with dresses, ornaments, garlands, and ointments. Purport. Lord Shiva never accepts any luxurious dress, garland, ornament, or ointment. But those who are addicted to the decoration of the body, which is finally eatable by dogs, very luxuriously maintain it as the self. Such persons do not understand Lord Shiva, but they approach him for luxurious material comforts. There are two kinds of devotees of Lord Shiva. One class is the gross materialist, seeking only bodily comforts from Lord Shiva. And the other class desires to become one with him. They are mostly impersonalists and prefer to chant Shivoham, I am Shiva, or after liberation I shall become one with Lord Shiva. In other words, the Karmis and Gyanis are generally devotees of Lord Shiva, but they do not properly understand his real purpose in life. Sometimes so-called devotees of Lord Shiva imitate him in using poisonous intoxicants. Lord Shiva once swallowed an ocean of poison and thus his throat became blue. The imitation Shivas try to follow him by indulging in poisons and thus they are ruined. The real purpose of Lord Shiva is to serve the soul of the soul, Lord Krishna. He desires that all luxurious articles, such as nice garments, garlands, ornaments, and cosmetics, be given to Lord Krishna only. Because Krishna is the real enjoyer. He refuses to accept such luxurious items himself because they are only meant for Krishna. However, since they do not know this purpose of Lord Shiva, foolish persons either laugh at him or profitlessly try to imitate him. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurur Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahamayam Dadati Svapadatikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pamunam Gayate Girim Yatri Patamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinatarinam. Lord Shiva is misunderstood. He is extraordinarily renounced. Yet, there are those who worship him. to become. Wealthy, famous, here we are, luxuriously maintained, Prabhupada says here, luxuriously maintained. So, some interesting points. First one is that Lord Shiva he's a great devotee. In fact, he's considered to be the best of the devotees. And one of the reasons why he's able to one of the reasons that he maintains this extraordinarily renounced demeanor, he carries himself in a very renounced fashion, is because of his very deep absorption in his service, or his, and service means servant of Krishna. One of the reasons why he doesn't take the offerings that are given him. He's worshipped in order for his devotees or his followers, who misunderstand him anyway, most of them, as Prabhupada points out here. He doesn't accept all of the worship for himself, but rather he understands that that worship is meant to be offered to Krishna. And so even though his followers seek the blessings, they seek opulence and material position and, you know, the benefits for themselves, Lord Shiva understands that those benefits, those opulences ultimately belong to Krishna, and are not to be enjoyed or to be exploited by the devotees. So this is a quite an example for us to follow, that the devotees don't seek opulence and wealth and, as is pointed out here, decorations of the body. The devotees are not seeking, as mentioned here, you know, ultimately this body is a meal for the dogs or the worms or the fire. You know, the body is destined for destruction. And the body itself is without the soul, just dull, inner, dead matter. And so, you know, it's the decorations of the material body are considered to be just like the decorations of a dead body, unimportant. The real essential element that is important that exists within the body is the soul. That's who we are. And without the presence of the soul, you can decorate the body as much as you like, but it's still just a lump of matter. And those who their sole purpose in life is decorating this dead body. We were reading the other day, they're just like ghosts. Right? Just like... they don't know what they're doing, and they create inauspicious activities that just disturb the devotees. Just like a ghost just makes trouble for others. So this idea that the body is the self, which is embraced by most of society, is a false, or it's a misunderstanding. And Lord Shiva's position is to transcend the body and to act on the spiritual platform that is absorbed in one's bhajan and in one's service, seva. And that's our sadhana. The goal of the devotee's behavior or activities is that all of our actions are sadhana. It's all an offering to Krishna. Everything that we do is an offering. What is it? Yat karosi yadashnasi yajjahosi dadasi yat. Everything is meant to be done as an offering to the Lord. Not that we come and worship Krishna just to get things for ourselves. Right, this is the mood of those who are worshipping Lord Shiva, basically wanting to get something for themselves. But this is not the real... It's elevated in one sense, that there's an acceptance of a supreme being. That's elevated. But it's not as elevated as understanding that there is a supreme being and that it's our business to serve such a person. Materialistically motivated devotees worship Lord Shiva or even Lord Krishna with the eye to get some benefit for themselves. So it's just a business deal. You know, here's my $2. Please make sure that I've got $2 million next week. Huh? But the example of Lord Shiva should be followed. You know, everything is given up for the pleasure of the Lord's service, and so therefore he's very renounced. Of course, that renunciation is not to be imitated. That level of renunciation, the level of renunciation that we see in personalities like Lord Shiva, or say in the character of the six Goswamis, the sannyasis, is not to be imitated. Because its basis is deep absorption in devotional service. And so, param drishtva nivartate, basically one is able to remain detached from material activities because of the absorption in spiritual action. So one has the higher taste. So in order to be renounced, one needs to have a strong sadhana, and that means not just the spiritual practices, but everything should be, all of our activities are meant to be spiritually focused, so that our chanting of Hare Krishna, our study of the scripture, our worship of the deity, our accepting and honouring prasadam, all of these activities, plus our external, if you like, service, has an underlying basis in it being an offering of devotion. There are the directly devotional, you know, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam activities, but then there's also the padasevanam, is devotional service. It's not that there's a difference. There's not a difference between what we do in the daytime and what we do in the morning program or the evening program. They're all devotional service. If we think they're different, that's something wrong with our understanding of things. And sometimes the devotees think, oh, service is material. You know, the things that I have to do, that's not really devotional. But it's meant to be. The whole thing is, everything that we do is meant to be an offering. When we're absorbed in that fashion, then we can remain detached. Like Lord Shiva. Live simply. And the absorption, the dedication, the devotion, the detachment that arises thereof is a symptom, if you like, of that absorption. So, Prabhupada says here, there are those who worship Lord Shiva for material prosperity. Basically, decorate the body. And then Prabhupada points out these two types of people. And this goes for Krishna as well. Two kinds of devotees of Lord Shiva. One class is the gross materialist, seeking only bodily comforts from Lord Shiva. Well, so the same with people who come to the temple and pray to the deity, you know, please make me wealthy. Please make my life comfortable. Not the real purpose of worshipping the Lord. Okay? The other class desires to become one with Him. Who's praying to Lord? Who's praying to Krishna for material prosperity? Anybody here? Okay, one honest person. Yep. Who's praying to Krishna, please give me trouble? Anybody? No. Nobody's praying to Krishna for trouble. We get trouble anyway. But even, you know, praying for no trouble is a material motivation. Right? Please, Krishna, no trouble. But we're in a material world. Material world means trouble. Huh? Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita, living in a material world, watch out. Lots of trouble. Yet we go and pray to Krishna, please, no trouble. And the trouble is meant to detach us. Not become attached. Mm. So there's those who are looking for material prosperity, there are those who want to become one with the Lord. Prabhupada says here, in other words, the Kamis and Jnanis are generally devotees of Lord Shiva, but they do not properly understand his real purpose in life. Even sometimes we're devotees of Krishna and we don't understand the real purpose in life. Krishna's job is not to make our life easy. But in fact, the material world is such a place that it will always give us trouble, even if we're wealthy. Right? Even if you're wealthy, because we think, you know, if I'm wealthy, then I'll solve all my problems. But that's not a fact. You can have a lot of wealth and be totally miserable. Right? Can you imagine that? Anybody here fabulously wealthy? I asked this last night. Any millionaires here? No. We can't ask them whether they're extraordinarily happy or not. Huh? But even if we've got lots of money, even if we're beautiful, right? Even if we're really handsome. Anybody here really handsome? What did you see when you looked in the mirror this morning? Your stunning beauty? Right? But even if you're stunningly beautiful, still, you'll be unhappy. Huh? There's the story of the lady who was the heiress to the Gillette fortune, you know, the man who invented razor blades. The safety razor blade. Became really wealthy. But she committed suicide because she, attractive, wealthy, well educated, but unhappy. No? So this is the example of Lord Shiva, that the pursuit of material gains, whatever they may be, is, you know, because Lord Shiva's a handsome, you know, Lord Shiva and Parvati, they're handsome. You know, if we were to see a handsome couple, they are very attractive. But just because we have material prosperity or wealth or birth, good looks, whatever, that's not to be enjoyed. That's the example of Lord Shiva. Rather that the human form of life especially, affords it a great opportunity. That opportunity is to not decorate the body, but to use it's a vehicle. And you know, you use a vehicle to get to your destination. Right? We hop in a car, and why do we get in the car? We don't just get in the car to enjoy sitting in the car, right? Usually we get in the car to drive to get to our location, to get to the place that we want to go. So we're in a vehicle of the body. So where do we want to go? Well, where should we be going? The real purpose of this vehicle is to use it to go back home, back to Godhead, not to just drive around and you know, sightsee. Huh? Of course, you know, you may do that on the weekend. My father used to do that every weekend. On a Sunday, we'd go for a Sunday drive. You ever do that? So the destination was home. We used to go for a drive around and look at things. in the material world. Actually, you know what we used to do? We used to drive around the hills, the Adelaide Hills, and we'd stop at the churches and the cemeteries. And then we'd go and look in the cemeteries and see what people had died of. And you'd see, oh, there'd be the head, the gravestones, and there'd be three or four names on the gravestones in the same family, and, you know, three or four of the children, they had big families in those days, but the children had died very early in birth, in life. Now, when I think about the Sunday drives that we used to do. And, you know, life is tough. That's what we would learn from our Sunday drive. That in the 1800s in Australia, you might be born, but there's a very good chance that you would die at a very early age. You know, diphtheria, whooping cough, tuberculosis, you know. Things that you don't die of these days. Right? Risky business, though, in those days. Couldn't just bundle your children off to the emergency ward in the hospital. There wasn't one. And it was all, you all got around on a horse and buggy. Right? You know what I mean by a horse and buggy? No? You know what a horse is? Buggy is a, you know, two-wheeled cart. That's how you got around. Horse and cart. So you can see whole families lying in the graveyard. So anyway, the body is a vehicle. It's not meant to just go for a Sunday drive. And even then, if you go for a Sunday drive, what do you see? Birth, death, old age and disease. So that's also should be a lesson to us. That we use the vehicle for its real purpose. The real purpose is not to decorate the vehicle. No? But the real purpose is to use the vehicle to get to our destination, which is to go back home, back to Godhead in a human form of life. This is a great opportunity. Not many people understand that, unfortunately. That's our business. The example of Lord Shiva is to teach others. Here's what the proper utility of the human form of life is. It's for. It is meant to pursue devotional service in all of its facets. Not to gain wealth or to become one with God. Gain wealth from God, or because he's in the superior position, take his position. Right? Or, well, we can't really take his position, so we become one with him. In one sense, that's, you know, competing with God. Now, it's interesting here, Prabhupada says, sometimes so-called devotees of Lord Shiva imitate him in using poisonous intoxicants. I remember one of my friends the friend who brought me to the temple, first time, brought me to the temple. He used to smoke a lot of ganja, right? But he had on his altar in his house, or on his mantelpiece in his house, he had Balaram, Subhadra and Lord Jagannath on his altar. Right? But then when he was smoking Ganja used to have a little cloth and he would put it over the top of the deities, so the deities couldn't see what he was doing. And they used to, you know, well, we'll offer this to Lord Shiva. So not only the devotees of Lord Shiva, but the devotees of Krishna too. Offer their intoxication to Lord Shiva. Because of Lord Shiva's consuming the poison, when there was the churning of the milk ocean, then it produced poison. And the poison was threatening the lives of the demigods and the demons. And so in order to protect the demigods and the demons, called out to Lord Shiva, please protect us. So in order to protect them, because Lord Shiva is very merciful. And so in order to protect those who were calling out to him, he absorbed all of that poison. But again, not to be imitated. We need to understand the reasons for which, the purposes and the reasons, the underlying motivations of saintly persons, and not to just make a show of detachment or to make a show of renunciation, but that's renunciation, or in this case, the taking of the poison was to protect the devotees, wasn't for his enjoyment. So, one has to understand the real purpose. Right? Prabhupada says it. The real purpose of Lord Shiva is to serve the soul of the soul. Lord Krishna. Right? That's his real purpose. The reason why he's very detached is because he's so absorbed in that activity. Deeply absorbed. And from that absorption comes his exalted renunciation. So rather than just imitate or just follow the renunciation, we need to follow the example of deep absorption in devotional practices. For us that means deep absorption in chanting Hare Krishna. That's the example that we should. That's the takeaway that we can benefit from Lord Shiva's example. He's deeply absorbed in meditation. That's what we should be following, the deep absorption in the chanting of Hare Krishna. The deep absorption in our philosophy. That's studying, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Srila Prabhupada's books. When we read Prabhupada's books, then that means we're with Prabhupada. And when we're with Prabhupada, we pick up that same mood. And that mood is, we accept material opulence. But we do accept material opulence. Whereas Lord Shiva, Prabhupada says here, never accepts any luxurious dress, garland, ornament or ointment. Huh? But we do. But not for ourselves. And it's the same principle. We accept donations. At the moment we're asking people for hundreds of thousands of dollars. But that money's not for ourselves. That money is to build a kitchen for Krishna. Right? So the real purpose is to serve the soul of the soul. Yeah. All luxurious articles such as nice garments, garlands, ornaments and cosmetics be given to Lord Krishna only. So we do collect luxurious articles, but for the worship of the Lord. And then we may take those things as prasadam. He refuses to accept such luxurious items himself because they are only meant for Krishna. However, since they do not know this purpose of Lord Shiva, foolish persons either laugh at him or profitlessly try to imitate him. So, you know, the devotees accept wealth. What is it? Garments, garlands, ornaments and cosmetics on behalf of the Lord for his pleasure. It's like the gopis would decorate themselves. But it describes in the Bhagavatam that decoration was to please Krishna. They weren't looking in the mirror, you know, to see what they look like. To see, oh, you walk down the street and look in the mirror, look in the windows, you see yourself. You go to the department store. You know, have you seen those mirrors in the department store where you stand there and it makes you look really fat? Or really skinny, or, you know, fat and then skinny. But they're looking in the mirror not to see whether they, you know, to see whether they look attractive, but that beauty is to be enjoyed by Krishna. That's very elevated. It's hard for us to not look in the mirror and want to, you know, enjoy ourselves. Right? If that's possible. But just see how strong the material energy is. Right? We stand in front of the mirror. We comb our hair. Well, see if you've got any hair. Actually, this is why we shave our heads. Right? Because we know this is all temporary, ephemeral. Our so-called attractiveness, it mentions here. The body which is edible by dogs. Svabhojanam. So not much importance placed on the external, but more importance placed on the internal. So, you know, we're looking at the brilliance and the beauty of the soul within the body. Now, even a very, Prabhupada mentions, you know, even a very, you know, decorated, ornamented dead body is not attractive. Right? But it's the soul. That's the most important element, aspect. So that's what that's the culture. The culture of Krishna consciousness is focused on bringing out the natural beauty of a person, and that natural beauty comes out when one is engaged in devotional service. They're the characteristics that we're looking for. Not the external, you know, form as such. Right, I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
What's the difference in the statement when we say Lord Shiva is the
What was that last bit?
Both are the highest or the best devotees. What's the difference?
What's the difference? Well, what are the symptoms of the best devotees? What are the common symptoms of, say, the gopis and Lord Shiva? They're prepared to give up everything, but they do it in different ways for the pleasure of Krishna. Lord Shiva is the protector of the Dham, right? He's situated in there's four manifestations of Lord Shiva in Vrindavan, isn't it? I can't remember that. I've heard this. I go on Parikrama and I hear these stories, but it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. Digpal, he's one of the protectors of the Dham and of Krishna's pastimes. So we see that the mood, the same mood of, you know, idam Krishnaya, idam namama. This is for Krishna, right? But Lord Shiva's role or his position is different in the sense that, you know, he's one of the guna avatars. Right? So his service is to preside over the tamagun. That's his service role or service position. The mood in which he does that service is the same mood that the gopis do their service in. Right? And so therefore we can see them then as the best devotees, because the best devotees are those who sacrifice everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Right? That's the mood. But his role or his service is different. He's on a different roster. But the mood of service is the same. That's how I would understand it. His service is to look after the Buddhas and the Pretas, right, and others, and to administrate as part of the universal affairs. So he demonstrates or presents himself as the best devotee. But manifests it through a different service. Whereas the gopis, also the best devotees, prepared to give up everything for the pleasure of Krishna. And in fact, you know, we're meant to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, not in the footsteps of Lord Shiva. Right? We want to take birth in the universe, in the material world, where Krishna is performing his pastimes, so that we, you know, we can take birth in a family of devotees and you know, become a gopi. Who wants to become a gopi? Who's not sure? Huh? Anyway, that's the idea. Take birth in the family of devotees in Vrindavan so that we can imbibe that same mood of spontaneity or spontaneous devotion to Krishna. Right? That spontaneous devotion to Krishna is manifest differently in the form of Lord Shiva as it is in the form of the gopis, but the mood is basically the same. So what's the difference? No difference. Because the real purpose of Lord Shiva is to serve the soul of the soul, Lord Krishna. Anything else? Ganesh Vara. Asking the wrong person for scriptural references, because I only really know what's in them. Or even then, I don't know. But I don't know. You need to ask a pundit. But you know, the Bhagavatam is. The Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam are our, you know, main Vedic references. And, you know, if you want other references, then read the Nectar of Devotion in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because Rupa Goswami has, you know, gathered one of Rupa Goswami's services was to study the scriptures and then gather the relevant references to support, you know, this point or these points. So if there are other references, you'll probably find them in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar of Devotion. There are other scriptures that announce or pronounce Lord Shiva as supreme. Bhagavan. Right? Yeah, that's to encourage his followers. You know, Krishna mentions, you know, I make their faith strong in whoever they want to worship. So that's to encourage them. At least in acts of devotion, you know. Basically, Krishna mentions we should encourage we shouldn't disturb the minds of the ignorant, but encourage them in acts of devotion. So if they're fixed on worshipping Lord Shiva, we don't disturb them too much on that point. Right? That's for their benefit. Lord Shiva is very merciful. And so those who worship Lord Shiva get his shelter. And so at least there's that understanding of, you know, worship of the Supreme. But just as there are different levels of, or different grades that we pass through till we get to our, you know, matriculation, and then we get to graduate, undergraduate, graduate, postgraduate, right? So we know there are different stages of realization or learning or understanding of these principles. And this worship of Lord Shiva, whilst it's desirable and beneficial for those, you know, at the lower, in the lower, under the influence of the lower modes of, or the lowest mode of material nature, we also know that there are higher levels. But when Gopal comes home from school and he's able to do his times tables, right? We praise him. We say, wonderful. We don't say, hey, well, your calculus, where's your calculus? Right? He's only in grade 6 or 7, right? So when he's doing well at grade 6 and grade 7, we encourage him. Yeah, fantastic, that's really good. But we know that we want him to rise up from, you know, 1 times 2 is 2. We want to get him up to the level of, you know, quantum physics. Do we? Is that what we want to do? Anyway, there are higher levels of mathematics. How many here did calculus in school? How many of you are using calculus now? None of us, probably. But anyway, we do know that there are higher levels of mathematics. Whether it was useful or not, that's another thing. Certainly it is useful for certain purposes. So similarly also, we encourage people at lower levels of devotion to keep performing that worship. And gradually they'll be elevated. So in one sense we don't emphasize, you know, these negative aspects too much. We encourage people in a positive. We encourage them to chant Hare Krishna and to study the Bhagavatam. And gradually they'll be elevated to an understanding that Krishna is supreme. But you know, you try convincing somebody that Krishna is supreme when they're a worshipper of Lord Shiva. Do you bother? No. Give them prasadam. Maybe next lifetime that they're going to get some benefit. Right? Preaching is a long process. We have to look for the long view, the long term vision. So, you know, Bhujan Prabhu tells the story of how he was, you know, mentioning to Prabhupada, he was talking about the people that he was preaching to in Hong Kong and about how they worship the demigods. And Prabhupada said, and you didn't discourage them, did you? Because, you know, the tendency of the devotees was, forget about Lord Shiva, you know, Krishna. And that just disturbs them. So our business is not to disturb people, although sometimes we get pleasure out of disturbing people. Right? We go on Harinam and people get upset and we think, stupid demon. Right? Stupid Kami demon. But in one sense, we don't want to disturb people. We want to encourage them in acts of devotion. And so that's why we'll find in the scriptures, in that mood, the same mood, we'll find glorification of Lord Shiva to encourage his followers to make their faith strong so they get the benefits of following him. Anything else? Yeah. So we should also, there are things that we can learn from Lord Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava. He's very merciful and compassionate to others. So that means distributing prasadam liberally, distributing the holy name liberally, not being discriminating as to who's fit nor who's not fit. Interestingly enough, this is our prasadam distribution and harinam and even book distribution is liberal. We liberally provide these things for everybody, whether they're fallen or not. Whilst the Vaishnavas are the most exalted, that doesn't mean they're above associating with others. You know, the Brahminical culture has this, Prabhupada mentions this, you know, the Brahmanas, Prabhupada puts, he lays the blame of the large Muslim population in India at the feet of the Brahmanas. Know that? And he says that because they were the suchi man, right? And they wouldn't, we can't associate with the untouchables, right? Because they're too low class. Right? We're the brahmanas and they're the muchis, and so we can't. Right? The Prabhupada said it's the duty of the brahmanas to have converted those people back to their original culture, not shun them or be aloof from them, right? Because they're muchi or whatever. So, you know, we shouldn't be too, the devotees shouldn't cultivate a mood of superiority. We're better than everybody else, and so therefore we shouldn't associate with it. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we were like them in any case, right? And if it wasn't for the mercy of the devotees, if it wasn't for the mercy of Prabhupada, then we'd still be like that. So the Vaishnavas are merciful to everybody, and we don't have to associate with them, but we can give them our association by chanting Hare Krishna, distributing books, distributing prasadam. These are our main, you know, having festivals that people are welcome to attend. In that way, the devotees are quite liberal. The spiritual master is liberal, following in that mood of Lord Shiva, to be merciful to everybody and everyone without discrimination. So we do have to be a little careful with our preaching when we start to, you know, segment our audience. Right? We do have to be careful about that to make sure that we don't lose that mood of magnanimity. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate. Right? Lord Chaitanya, one of the features, and it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he distributed love of Godhead to anybody and everybody. Right? Now, we do discriminate in the sense that, you know, there's no point in preaching to a dog. Right? You can go and talk to the neighbour's dog till the cows come home and you won't get anywhere. So there's no point in spending time talking to people with a dog-like mentality. They just need to keep hearing the holy name, taking prasadam, and like I say, we have to look at the long view. Right? But we do discriminate in who we cultivate and speak to. When a person is inquisitive, well, when a person has Three qualities. What are those three qualities? What's the first quality that we look for in a potential devotee, or in any devotee for that matter? What's the first quality? Put your hand up if you think you know the answer. Huh? Before that. No. Pranipatena. What's that? Respectful. They have to be respectful. Because there's the inquisitiveness is qualified. You know, there are some people who ask questions, but it's, what about this, what about that? And so it's not respectful. Demanding kind of inquisitiveness is not respectful. And so therefore we avoid people who just are not respectful. Then the inquisitiveness. Then they're ready to do service. So we look for those three qualities in a person. They're the type of people that we will spend time with and cultivate. And we can find that in all sections of society. And so that's why we're very liberal with our Harinam, with our Prasadam, with our book distribution. We're very liberal. We don't discriminate. But it's kind of like it's prospecting. In sales, the first thing you do is you look for customers, right? And that could be anybody. So we go out looking for anybody. But then a customer has a particular qualification. In our case, a customer has to be respectful, inquisitive, and prepared to render service. Although we will take customers who are inquisitive and respectful, may not be ready to render service yet. But we'll encourage that. But that's ideally what we're looking for. Then with those qualifications, then we'll cultivate and encourage such people. And those people come from all walks of life. All right, let's go. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhaktavinda Ki Jai, Mahaprasadam Ki Jai.
suggested to raise hands or something, that we just keep quiet, you know, raising hands or, you know, sort of like correspond. So, but in front of deities, although you're asking, we are not raising hands. That is it also, though, that's not by hesitation, you know, if you remember.
That will be humility. Another one, you know, he wants to put their hand up and have me make fun of him.
That is good.
Hey, hey man!
Hey, Bob!
Yeah.
That's okay.